Good morning, everybody. It's a good day. Well, that brings to mind a song that I heard once before. It calls, the words are, it's a good day living for Jesus. It's a good day with Him as a friend. So, are you living for Jesus? Is He your friend and your Lord? Well, that's something to think about. Well, we've just celebrated Easter, and all of us can get so excited and encouraged when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the biggest day in the history of the Christian movement. And the fact is, He is risen. Say it with me. He is risen. He is risen indeed. But after the resurrection, what now? Well, a lot of people can get discouraged after celebrating a big day, and because life just returns to being normal, just daily. But let me ask you, what's the use of Jesus rising from the dead if life's just going to be the same for God's kids? Aren't things supposed to be different? Well, that's what we're going to dive in today. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for the wonderful day. Thank you that Jesus is alive and He remains alive and active in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's just do a real quick review of the resurrection event. Jesus lived. We know what He taught, how He lived, the things He did. We know that He died. It's the worst that man could do is what they did to Jesus. It was a horrible death. Then He rose again. Hallelujah, He rose again. And in this, He created a new road to God where He alone is the door. And because of what Jesus did, we can be forgiven and we can live forever. And if nothing else, that's something that we can celebrate. And I think we should. But there's a lot of people who question the resurrection and ask, did it really happen? Well, let's look at the evidence found in the Bible. First, Jesus appeared to Mary just after the resurrection. Then He appeared to the disciples, and the disciples were blown away. They just couldn't believe He had rose again. Oh, and you know the guards that had been placed around the tomb? They went back to their bosses and they reported to them that some of Jesus' disciples had come in and overcome them and stolen Jesus' body. I have a question. How can some fishermen overcome Roman guards and then steal Jesus' body? Well, let me just say, yeah, right. Then Jesus appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus, and one of them reported, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as He spoke to us?" That's Jesus. And then Jesus appeared to the disciples, minus Thomas, and He showed them His hands and His side. He's alive. And then He appeared to the disciples plus Thomas, and He set Thomas straight. As Thomas reports, "My Lord and my God." Yes, Jesus is alive. And then finally, Jesus shows up on the edge of the Sea of Galilee and cooks His disciples a fish dinner. Then He eats some fish. And He calls Peter to feed His sheep. There's pretty good evidence so far that Jesus is alive, but I can hear the skeptics. They're saying, yeah, right. This is all from the disciples. And they conspired this story to support what they're teaching. Well, why would they tell a story that they would die for? I don't get it. Some more biblical evidence. Paul reports that Jesus appeared to over 500 people, and many of those were still alive in Paul's day, and people could go and talk to them and ask them for themselves. So Jesus is alive, and as far as I'm concerned, that settles it. He's alive, He lived, He died, He rose again, and He lives forever with His saints to reign one day. We should celebrate that fact. Now let's just slow down a little bit, not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the resurrection story. Just after Jesus appears to all these people, Jesus comes and makes a huge promise to everyone. And then he takes a goodbye flight, and he's not leaving on a jet plane. Luke records in Luke 24, Jesus says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." There's what the disciples are supposed to do. Verse 50, "Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven." He ascended into heaven. Jesus says, "Look, the Holy Spirit is coming. And after he arrives, you will have the power of God on your life." The power of God on your life. Think about that. How amazing would that be for the power of our Creator God to be in our life? Well, you and I should know. But if only we believed and acted on it. Then Jesus takes a flight and gives a little more, and Luke gives us a little more detail in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. "And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight." Can you just imagine the sight? I'm sure the disciples were sitting there and just going, "Wow!" As Jesus lifted up into the sky. I think I would have forgotten to breathe. What an amazing event that was. But then Luke tells us more, verses 10 and 11. "And while they were gazing into heaven, and as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven.'" So, in essence, Jesus will come again in the clouds, just as he went. And that's not happened yet. It's still in our future. There's much been said about the Lord's return, but there's one thing for sure. If the Bible is true, then Jesus will return. It's unavoidable. If you have the chance to see with your own eyes what we have just talked about, how would all of these events change you? Think about it. If you had seen the life of Jesus, you had seen the crucifixion, and you personally saw Jesus after the resurrection, and then you hear the angels report that Jesus is going to return, how would that affect you if you had been able to see and experience all of this? How would it change you? You may be wondering how all that we've talked about affected the lives of the disciples. Well, Luke gives us that information in his gospel, Luke 24, verse 52. "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." I bet the excitement revolutionized the Jewish temple and it woke a bunch of people up. Well, let's make this personal then. How should the death, burial, and resurrection and the promise of the coming Holy Spirit and the ascension affect and change us? Well, I personally believe, I think that we need to act on what we have just seen and heard. And if we will do that, it will absolutely revolutionize our lives and change the atmosphere of our churches. You see, Christianity is not a religion of self-righteous mumbo-jumbo and do-nothing theology. Christianity is a movement of excitement and action which is empowered from heaven and will result in the changed lives and attitudes. Why? It's because Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit is here, and I think we just ought to celebrate that. So what do you think? Should our lives be different because Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit lives within us? Listen, I want to give you an illustration. If God were to walk into the room right now, wouldn't everything change? Wouldn't the atmosphere change? Wouldn't our lives change? I think it would. But if we would just look at the things and think about the things that we've just seen and heard, and just realize the fact that the Holy Spirit is already here, we would realize that God is with us right now and in every day of our lives, and it should revolutionize how we live. Don't you think it should? I do think so. Shouldn't this knowledge change everything? I think it should. Father, help us to get this. Help us to live like Jesus is alive. Help us to live like God, you are with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Help us to live an exciting, vibrant, and overcoming life. And we can do that because Jesus lives and God lives in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.